A5, number 23A.
We are considering the question of structuring our synonymous terms, and I showed you this morning that actually the first step of structuring the synonymous term would actually be first to introduce the four of the Holy City, the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and Science, which, what I didn't mention this morning, would already structure those seven in four orders, so that the order would already be definite, namely the Word order, in which there is a definite sequence of the synonymous term. Then the Christ order, which already gives another sequence of the synonymous term, therefore quite a different reasoning, quite a different logic that flows through it, and that alone would already determine the accentuation of definite qualities of the synonyms, because the synonym in the Christ order have a different tonality or a different accentuation than in the Word order. The same in Christianity order and in the Science order. So that would be the very first attempt of structuring the seven. Then we have seen that if we take a further category into consideration, namely the 4x4, which is a matrix form, then we can structure the seven synonymous term according to the 16 of the matrix. There again we can take in various matrices, and according to the aspect of each matrix, again, there is a different tonality, a different accentuation of the seven synonymous terms. Then there would be a step further, namely to see that mind can also be structured by taking in the categories of the four levels of science. At the moment we consider mind on the various levels, then actually mind is accentuated very, very differently. Say, on the level of science itself, it's certainly very different than on the level of Christian Science, because on the level of science itself, we only have the synonymous term per se as what it is when the synonymous term know itself and is aware of itself. Whereas, for instance, on the level of Christian Science, we have the tonality that there each synonymous term has its impact on the human and therefore brings forth qualities and attributes in the human which indicate those seven synonymous terms. We know, for instance, that in the divine you have mind doesn't lead and guide, because in the divine, in the absolute, there is no leading necessary, no guiding necessary, no steering necessary. These are qualities that we attribute to mind only on the level of Christian Science, because on the level of Christian Science we have to ask, what does mind do to us, to the human, to the mortal? And there we see that the impact of mind, for instance, is that it leads us, leads mortal, that it inspires mortal, that it awakens in the mortal the tendency to seek or the desire to know God. These are all qualities that are unknown in mind on a higher level. But this is a terrific big subject, and it's actually a subject on which we have spent a whole seminar in 1973. We spent there 39 hours solid work in that seminar. That was the most terrific seminar I ever had, 39 hours in a week. And it's all about the place value of the synonymous term on the various levels. And so I don't need to go into it now. It's a big subject, and everybody who is interested in it can inform himself through those tapes. To my sense, that seminar was the climax of my teaching, and since then I had to tread more on the same place and go back to the fundamentals and present the fundamentals, but I'm glad I did it because it will stand there for many years as the highlight of structuring consciousness. What I want to do now is just to give one example how we could use those four levels of consciousness when we are considering a synonymous term. So it is just going through that chart with one synonymous term in view and try to show the bigness and the infinite applicability of the synonymous term when we consider it through all the various categories, namely the four sides of the city and the four levels of consciousness. When I do that, I do it under the assumption that you know the chart. For those few who have never been taught the chart, I must apologize that perhaps I talk above their heads. So we will take the chart here, which is also in my book on the four levels of spiritual consciousness, and I will take mind as a synonymous term and see how the whole chart can structure the term, the synonymous term, mind, in a practical way. Therefore, in order to make it practical, we assume a case that has to do with mind. Let's say, and this is perhaps a very common case, let's say that we have a case in front of us where we begin to see that every disease, every evil, everything inharmonious is actually the outcome of mortal mind, that mortal mind is at work, that there is a false concept at work, that it is a question that the human mind, the mortal mind, is not aware of harmony. Now, if we concentrate on the divine mind, we can go and take mind and flow through the whole chart from top to bottom, because it is a question of demonstration. Therefore, we usually start with the highest concept, with the highest level of science. Again, to set the stage, here is the belief that there is a mortal mind who could produce something inharmonious, that there is a mortal mind that is aware of an inharmonious state, or that there is a mortal mind that knows this inharmonious state and is constantly pondering on that mortal mind thought and making that whole situation very heavy, so that there is an awareness of minds many about the situation, and we feel, because so many people have a wrong concept about the situation, and so and mortal mind is surrounding that case, that it is heavy to resolve. And so what can we do? We can see that we can turn away completely from the whole picture of mortal mind and of human mind, and turn away and look into the infinitude of the one infinite mind. So here we have the subject mind. But instead of just saying, I look into the infinitude of mind, and perhaps just feel, well, what is mind, and do some concept building of mind or some tonality building of mind, I could approach that whole thing in a structured way through the chart, and start right on the top of science itself, where everything is being considered from the point of view of the infinite principle. But as our subject is mind and not principle, you see now, you have to keep the pedal note of mind all through, no matter what is now on the chart, which synonymous terms are now on the chart, because we consider now mind as the whole chart. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Just from time to time make like this, and I know you are here. So instead of just seeing mind, I start on the level of science itself and see, oh, mind is the principle of all. I begin to see that mind is the principle of all. That's the dawn of science itself. So that I begin to see not just mind, as if mind would be somehow an atmosphere of mind, but I begin now to see that behind that mind, that terrific tone of mind, is a divine principle. That principle is the principle of mind, or that mind has a divine principle. And therefore, that principle is its own infinite mind. And as I see that principle is its own infinite mind, and that mind is its own infinite principle, can you feel that if you see that you at once get rid of the sense that mortal mind could have anything to do with people and what people are thinking, what persons are thinking? It's principle that has alone a mind. Principle alone has a mind and is mind. Therefore, there are no people with minds, many. Therefore, I can see as a negative, there are no minds, many. There is no personal mind. Therefore, there has never been a personal mind at work. Can you see how I kill right away at the root of all evil? I kill right away the belief that there has ever been a mortal mind or a human mind being able to produce anything inharmonious, or that there is a mortal mind or personal mind surrounding the case, just thinking all sorts of silly things and negative things and depressing things about the case. There is only one mind, and that mind is the principle that is going on. At that very moment, you see, I already have gained my standpoint and see that mind, capital M, mind is the principle of all mind. There are no persons who have a mind. Principle is the principle of mind. And naturally, at that very moment, I somehow ask, well, what does that principle do? See, the moment I touch principle, I always know principle is operating. Principle is not just a dead, stagnant, fixed central point somewhere, but the principle is an operative principle. And the moment I ask that question, or it dwells up within your consciousness quite naturally, it just comes and talks to you, says, if principle is the mind of everything, and there is no mortal mind, something says, what does that principle? And the moment we ask that, we are on the level of divine science. Because divine science brings in the calculus. Divine science brings in the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science, the calculus. Therefore showing that this principle of the one mind, we still are with mind, that principle of the one mind is an ever-operative principle. All right, how does that principle operate as the one mind? And we know that law of divine science, You know, we have learned that law, which says it's a self-operative, self-organizing law of divine science, namely which states fundamentally that everything comes from the synonymous term, that it acts through the synonymous term, the Christ, that it acts as the synonymous term, Christianity, and that it operates for the synonymous term, science. So, word Christ, Christianity, and science is out of itself, through itself, as itself, for itself. And that's the circle, the closed circuit of a cybernetic law of self-operation and self-organization. All right, I know that law. I had to interpolate that quickly to refresh what's going on. So we go back to our treatment, so to say, where we have established the fact that the one mind is the principle of all mind, that there is a principle of the one mind, and that that principle operates on divine science. How? Namely, that mind manifests itself out of itself. So we begin to see the operative sense of principle as the one mind in the world manifesting itself out of itself, out of the whole of mind. You know, naturally you are in a very bad situation. You have to listen to me and make notes and try to follow me. I'm in a much better situation. I can really in an inspired way be in the rhythm of it. Think of the beauty to think that in that treatment we see that mind operates, therefore manifests itself out of itself, out from itself. That is the only operation that ever went on. That therefore everything that ever operates and has ever operated and will ever operate is from mind itself. Therefore, never from a mortal mind. There has never been a mortal mind operating and trying to manifest itself as evil. That's just blah, blah. Huh? Just not true. Here we find that because that mind is a principle and operates, mind operates always fully, fully, completely out of that one infinite mind. Therefore, it never operated out of anything else. Never from thinking, never from right thinking, never from wrong thinking. And that frees me at once from the belief that mortal mind's working has gone on, that mortal mind was at work in this case. I have a terrific feeling that it is only the divine mind ever operating, and operating as what? As the whole of itself, out from the whole of itself. So that I feel not just a little bit of mind has been manifested, not just an idea or one accentuation of mind has manifested itself. I feel the whole of mind is always pouring out itself, out of itself, out of its own well of life. It pours it right out. That's why you have there a tone of life in it. So mind here, at the point of divine science in the world, is just showing that mind is a terrific well of life out of which everything manifests itself in its fullness. Every idea of mind is constantly manifesting itself out of the volition of mind itself. Never has a mortal mind, a human mind, had to try to make mind manifest. Isn't that beautiful? Good. Now we got it. Then we go to the Christ and see that that very principle that has a mind, that very principle, which is the principle of mind, operates through itself, through the whole of mind. Therefore, I see it never operates through the practitioner. Never operates through the practitioner's thought. It never operates through my thinking. It never operates through brain. It never operates through my understanding. It always operates through the one infinite mind itself. The mind itself is the channel through which it operates. Mind needs no other channel through which to operate. Yes. So if we have established that, we see that the infinite mind never needs a finite channel of anything. Neither finite channel of thinking, of treatment, of practitioner, of the practitioner thought, or of the patient's thought of the surrounding, nothing. Mind alone is the channel. Then I begin to see Christianity, that mind operates not only out of itself, not only through itself, but also as the whole of mind. I begin to see that the demonstration that is going to be made out of mind is not just to demonstrating somewhere in the universe at a certain place in time and space an idea. That would be limited. But I see that the divine mind, that divine mind operates always all over the place, universally, as the one mind. It touches every point in being, not just the specific case. How can the divine mind suddenly be limited and only touch a specific case? The divine mind is always universal, and therefore its demonstration is always the whole of mind, universal mind. Then this naturally would also correct the belief that it comes to a certain mind, certain human mind, as thinking. At that point, you see, you are much higher than that. At that point, you see that the whole world is being blessed by that treatment. The whole world. Finally, in science, we see that the divine mind operates by manifesting itself, not only out of itself, not only through itself, not only as itself, but also for the one and only purpose of glorifying the one mind. That's our demonstration. To glorify mind. Not to get something out of it humanly. See? Because mind only knows itself. Mind's demonstration is to strengthen itself, to fortify itself, to show its bigness, to show its glory, to show its all-embracedness, so that every treatment is showing, is done, and is given for the glory of mind, for the glory of God. Not for the glory of the practitioner, not for the glory of the patient, not for the glory of Christian Science, that we glorify through that Christian Science, but for the glory of being itself. Therefore not for the solving of negative problems. And you can see how pure your consciousness stays when it stays in the rhythm of divine science. It just does not get out of that circle, of that circuit, the closed circuit of its own infinite being. Yes? And when I have that, somehow my thought may be satisfied, but perhaps it may not be satisfied. You just have to listen to what is going on within your consciousness, and in most cases, somehow something is not satisfied. It says, but I would like to see if that one mind that is infinite and universal is the mind of every situation, the perfect mind of any specific situation. Though it is the answer to every specific situation, let's see that it is the answer to one specific situation. But the moment that comes in, I ask a question that belongs to the level of absolute Christian Science. Because absolute Christian Science is that level of consciousness where thought is asking for specific ideas and for the manifestation of specific ideas. It's just there where we have the computer and we ask the computer, though he has millions of data in it, give me this specific data which I need. And so out of the millions, that computer just has to give you one specific true answer. And this is what happens in absolute Christian Science. It really acts as the divine infinite calculus, computing all right ideas. And it does that how? Through the Word in absolute Christian Science, through the Christ in Christianity and Science. What does it mean? That mind, I go back to the problem of mind, that mind which is the mind of the divine principle, of the divine infinite principle, which is not my mind, but principle's own mind. That mind which operates on the level of divine science, always out of its wholeness, through its wholeness, as its wholeness, for its wholeness, has within itself the emanation of its infinite self-containment. It pinpoints within itself to that answer that is adapted to a specific situation. As it has the answer to all situations, it can pinpoint that situation and that answer which is right for that situation and makes it known to us. And so begins to reveal itself to us. So we have the revelation of the Word of God, where we see that mind is brought out through what? Through the Word of God, namely through the infinite impulsion of life, truth, and love. So you come to life, truth, and love in the Word of absolute Christian Science. Bringing out what? That life, truth, and love are constantly impelling the divine mind, we are at the point of mind, the divine mind to manifest itself as a specific idea of mind, bringing forth the illumination, the light of a specific idea. We have to stop here.